Dash number 15590, Phil Plowright, Reel 9.
Mr. Plowright, Reel 9. We were talking about when you went out on a fighting patrol or a reconnaissance patrol, and you said you'd have the normal complement of Thompson machine guns and rifles.
Yes.
What else would you take with you?
Grenades.
Any special grenades or just the Mills bomb?
No, just the... we'd take the phosphorus as well. They were much lighter, the Bakelite grenade, that is.
And how many men would go on? Say a fighting patrol or a reconnaissance, either. What was the difference between them?
Well, a fighting patrol is possibly, you would be given a point to go to. And the idea of that was to take them by surprise and get the hell out of it. Whereas a reconnaissance patrol, you would have to reconnoitre a given area and report on anything that you'd noticed at minefields or anything like that, to mention but
so
one thing.
So how many men might there be in a fighting patrol?
About 10. Okay. Mostly at night time, you see. If you had a lot of men, you couldn't control them in that way.
How many for a reconnaissance? Less?
Slightly less, yes.
Now, let's take a reconnaissance patrol first, because that's so you'd be going out to go around an area. Would you blacken your faces with anything or any of these things?
No, we didn't. We were dirty anyway, and it was always at night time. I don't think you could tell the difference between black and white at that time of night. Because there was always plenty of muck about anyway. You only got to just wipe your face with your dirty hands.
Would you still be in charge of a reconnaissance patrol, or would the officer come with you?
No. Sometimes I wasn't in charge. An NCO would be there, and I would be with the officer at HQ.
But if you did go out, would you be in charge?
Oh, yes.
What would you do on a typical one? You'd have, say, 7 or 8 men with you.
We had the... mostly map reader in front with a map, or reference of a map, but whether you'd brought your map or not, you'd know exactly... The man who had the knowledge, that is, where we were going, had been studied it before and got a rough idea, he would lead, and the rest would follow.
In any particular formation, a V or straight line?
No, it depended on the terrain. Sometimes we were walking on mountain paths with a sheer drop down below. It was the terrain up there was quite something. It wasn't open fields or anything like that. In fact, when they brought the food up, they brought it up by mule.
I'll come back to that. Mm. So you'd go out and then you'd just be patrolling the area.
Mm.
And what kind of things were you looking for?
We've actually, in fact, passed German patrols and, apart from reporting them, taken no action. Because there was nothing we could do, really.
In what way?
Well, if you open fire on a patrol, all right, you might knock one or two down, but you'd lose a lot more as well, because you'd still got to get back. It's no good going on a patrol, picking up information, and then getting killed. It was information that you'd got to get back if there was such information required. So it was more important to get back than to win the VC, posthumously.
So if you saw a German patrol and you were on a reconnaissance patrol, you'd just lie doggo?
We'd keep pretty still, yes. Unless we were attacked, of course.
They saw you and...
Unattacked, yes.
Did that ever happen?
No, not that. No, it didn't. We came off pretty well. Sorry, you were going to say...
You'd go out for a certain... How many hours would you stay out in the reconnaissance?
We used to go into night positions first, from the reverse slopes. We'd eat on the reverse slopes when food had been brought up, and then we'd man the reverse the forward slopes facing the monastery. We'd have positions there, and we would set off from there.
Would you have to go through barbed wire or anything? Would you have anything?
No, there were no barbed. There would be in some cases, but not around that area. The terrain, as I say, was sufficient barrier without putting barbed wire down. They didn't even mine it up there.
So you'd go out after you'd moved on the board, so then you'd go out from there. About how long were you thinking?
It'd be outside, out 2 hours perhaps more.
And would you see, did you ever see anything that was worth reporting?
Nothing that I can sort of specifically say anything interesting. There must have been things that they wanted to know, but I can't remember what they were.
And you didn't come under fire that you remember while you were on
the board? No, no.
So you'd come back, after you'd done your hour, two hours, you'd come back. Did you have passwords and things like that?
Yes, we did. There was always a password given when the password and account assigned. So we went out and the password was Yorkshire, the other one would be pudding or whatever.
Were they usually that obvious?
No, not to... to Germans, they wouldn't be.
But to you, they'd be. And so you'd shout that out as you approached the line?
Yes.
Would you be challenged before you got... You know, in other words, were the sentries...
Yes, yes, our people would be alive. They had the older position. We would... we were also after... Germans used to do counterattacks. They'd do a counterattack and pull back again. And a good reconnaissance patrol would pick up something like that so that you get back and say, stand by, there's likely to be a counterattack. It wasn't always.
What sort of signs would you have of Germans about to make a counterattack?
Well, there were movement, for one thing. Voices, movement, more gunfire, more artillery fire.
Just heightened activity.
Yes. It was. It's very difficult to imagine Casino. Casino town was in there. The monastery over above our positions, our particular company positions in a certain place, and this area in front where there were rocks and gullies and no flat ground, mule tracks and whatever. So... if there was a counterattack developing and you were out there, you might just get an idea that it was holding them down onto the same level as we were. They did have a good advantage
when
there.
When you got back from your reconnaissance patrol, who would you report to? Would it be a company commander?
Company commander, yes.
And that would be the end of it?
That would be it, yes.
Now, the last one was the fighting patrol you mentioned. Now, in view of what you said, did you do them at Casino?
Yeah, we did them, but we didn't... I can't remember ever firing on anybody there.
So there you'd go to a certain point, but there'd be nothing there when you got there.
Right. Yes, you went to... We had information, obviously, from various sources, and we went prepared to do an attack.
So that would be perhaps from a reconnaissance patrol.
Yes.
They might say there was some activity
right.
somewhere.
But I personally can't recall... having to fight on a fighting patrol. People have done, obviously. Otherwise, there wouldn't be any fighting patrols. But, well, there wouldn't have been any, but I can't remember doing anything like that personally. I've been on many a one, but got back without being fired
on.
So
that they would be pretty much like a... in effect, they turned out to be pretty much like reconnaissance patrols. They weren't meant to be, but that's what they'd come out
yes.
like.
Yes, but there was some suspicion of a... point there that was likely to be used fire on. So there's a slight difference, but not much. The numbers were greater on the fighting patrol, and weapons different.
Any other sorts of patrols?
Not on Casino. No, not on Casino.
Now, while you were there, I believe one chap ran himself into trouble and actually got court-martialed, the story you told me.
Yes.
Could you tell us that story in full right from the beginning? It was about a chap called Fallows, I think.
That's right, Albert Fallows, yes.
Could you give us the background to Albert Fallows? Because he was quite a character, wasn't he? You knew him from England.
Yes. Albert was in the 70th Battalion, and he had an impediment in his speech, but he was a splendid type of chap, keen on everything and worthy of promotion. And he was eventually made Lance Corporal. But because he had this impediment in his speech, they made him what we called Orderly Corporal. And one of his duties was to collect the mail. And it was a bit chaotic, in as much as he came into the dining room and he would say, "Listen to your mail!" That translated means "listen to your mail." And they shout somebody's name like, "Teal!" And everybody would say, "Who?" And Albert used to get a bit steamed up and then say, "Bugger you then, you have to come to the orderly room and get it." And they used to have to come to the orderly room and shout through the orderly room door, "Private Teal." Albert would say, "Who?" Get his own back. That's the sort of background to it. But he was...
That'd be in England.
Yeah, it was him in England, yes.
Now, he'd come out to the 2nd Fifth at some time.
That's right. He came out with us, yes. Yes, he came out with us.
And he kept his rank?
Yes, he was Lance Corporal, yes.
Now, was he given any special job when it was the 2nd
Fifth? Just a section commander. Section leader.
So...
He didn't need to give commands, only in the normal voice, but he was... Everybody liked Albert. Nobody sort of took the mickey out of him under those conditions.
Which company was he in, or which platoon?
He was in B. We were in B Company then. No.
When did you move to B Company?
After I was sick with the jaundice.
So that you were sick before Casino. I'll come back to that. And you rejoined them, and you.
I went to B
patrolling. You're talking with.
With B Company, yes.
And which platoon was that? 13th.
That was 13th platoon again.
That was 13th
platoon, yes.
And before you've been in 14th.
14th platoon in C Company, yes.
I'll come back to your illness, but you were telling me about Albert Fallows. Now, he was in B Company,
yes.
And was he in your platoon?
Yes, he was.
Now, as a section leader, he was just a normal section leader. And did you think he was good at his job?
Yes, I did. I liked him and I trusted him, and I knew that he wouldn't let anybody down. He was a good sort of bloke.
And had he done much action? I mean, had he performed well in action?
Well, he wasn't. I wasn't actually with him because he was in B Company. But he was well liked. He was well liked throughout the company.
You mean you hadn't seen him before when you joined him in B Company? I mean,
no, I knew that he was in B Company.
That's all you knew.
Yes, I knew that he was in B Company.
On Casino with him.
Well, we were. Given instructions to man a fighting patrol, and because we were short-handed, we hadn't got a full complement of men, and it was a static position anyway, so that fighting patrols and reconnaissance patrols that were going out were not necessarily just from my platoon, they were coming from other platoons as well, and they were short of section leaders and section leaders and commanders and what have you. So it seemed to be that some of the junior section leaders were out about every night or every other night. Anyway, Albert was detailed to go on this particular patrol, and in his voice he says, "I'm not bloody going." And everybody sort of pleaded with him to get him to go change his mind, but he was adamant that he wouldn't go, and of course he had to be hauled up in front of the company commander, who tried to avoid him being court-martialed, trying to cajole him into going, but...
Why wouldn't he go? Because the other junior section, was he being picked on?
No, he sort of cracked up and he said, "Enough is enough." That was the impression of the way that I got it, anyway, that
had
I took
nerve
it.
Gone, or was it just more that he felt it was unfair?
Both? It might have been both. I mean, who can tell what stress people are under unless it happens to you personally? You don't know, do you?
So he went to the company commander, and you know, he was sent there.
Yes, nothing came of it. So of course he had to he had to be reported for a court-martial. He was sent to a court-martial and he was put into detention. And that was the last we really heard of him.
I believe they came near him once when he was at a detention
centre. Yes, men knew about him. We'd come back from Greece. We were at Taranto on the last leg of the Italian campaign. And we heard there was a big detention barracks at Taranto. And we got word that Albert Fallows was there. And a lot of the men went down to see him and actually contacted him through the wire or whatever. Not directly, took him cigarettes and things like that.
So there's a lot of sympathy for him.
Oh, yes, yes. Yes, he was well liked and he'd proved himself to be a good man, a good soldier. But why he cracked up and refused, we shall never know.
Now, going back to the yellow jaundice, when did you become aware of that?
When I started, couldn't eat anything, went a funny colour and felt queasy all the time inside, just couldn't eat anything, lost weight and dehydrated to some extent, and I went to see the doctor, our MO, and he sent me straight back to the casualty clearing centre, casualty receiving centre. Anyway, they sent me straight on to a hospital, and I was in hospital for a short time.
And how badly were you? I mean, did you get better quickly?
Yes, I got better reasonably quickly. I was able to eat after a few short days when I got back to some ordinary food again.
Were you glad of the rest?
I suppose I was, yes. Yes, I suppose I was.
How was your morale going? I mean, you've been...
It was up and down.
What do you mean?
Some days we could see right down the valley where they brought the food up and where they were bringing reinforcements up, not necessarily to our battalion, but they were all coming up this track and then spreading off in various directions as they came from this particular point that we could see. And they were being shelled constantly, so that when they were bringing reinforcements up, it was like running the gauntlet. And there were casualties, and it was not very good.
Now, when you come back, you've been put from C Company into B Company. Mm-hmm. Why was that? Just because you'd been replaced?
Yes, been replaced.
Did you mind being in B Company?
No, I didn't mind. I didn't have any views about it.
What was your... And you were number 13.
I knew that in B Company there was Johnny Booth and Herbert Littlewood, who were two great blokes, and I admired them both very much.
Why did they have such good reputations? Johnny Booth, for instance, why was he so well respected?
He may not have been well respected, but he was well liked. Johnny Booth, he was... sort of very laid back. He didn't have it. There was no bull with him. He'd never been a parade ground type at all. He was just a...
He was a sergeant by then.
Yes, he was, yes. And Herbert Littlewood, he'd been a boxer and, in fact, had fought Jock McAvoy in earlier times, before McAvoy had become champion of England... Lightweight champion of England, middleweight champion of England, and Herbert, who came from the same place, Mosborough, had beaten McAvoy and said he could beat him any time, and I believed him. So I had a great respect for Herbert anyway. He later won the MM anyway and didn't bother to collect it. He was so laid back. Johnny Booth won the MM.
What did he win it for?
No, I don't. I remember Herbert. I was in the caves at Vandra. But Herbert did win the MM with really won it, but other people got the MM for bringing the rations up and that sort of thing, being cheerful under fire and all sorts of obscure reasons. But Herbert did win his. He should have had the VC, to my mind. If there had been an officer anywhere about,
did
he probably would
incident?
Have. Yes, I did, yeah.
What happened?
Yeah, the...
That was where? Vandra.
There were caves at Vandra. And the Germans were in the caves. And there was open ground in front, and it was mined. And Herbert led an assault on these caves and lasted a few out of it. Lasted a few of the Germans out, and there was, the rest of them soon surrendered. But Herbert was with me at another time when we got on a minefield, and I was glad of his presence then. We actually dug our way off that one in the dark.
When was that?
That was in the Gothic line.
Oh, we'll come
later.
Come to that later.
Yes.
So you were in B Company. Who was your officer with B Company?
Glover.
That was when you met.
Yes.
Glover.
Yes.
Morris had been with the other company.
Yeah, Morris said that was he was with C Company. Yes.
Right.
So it happened in between the Volturno, the departure of Morris, and the arrival at Casino.
Okay. And any other officers in the company you remember? Or was it just really Glover?
Yeah, there was Griffiths was. That was Bennett's later platoon commander.
What was he like?
He was well liked, I know. I don't remember much about him, quite honestly. We had a good commanding officer, a good company commander, Major Lord. He was a great opponent of mine in the sports. We have a great thing. We meet when we go to the reunions, and we have it all over again. yes, he was a good
bloke. He was a company commander.
Yes,
Glover was your platoon commander.
Mm.
And any particular characters in your platoon?
When I was in B Company.
As opposed to... Because you weren't with them long, were you?
No. No. Well,
perhaps we'll leave that there, then.
I've got the sequence wrong here, I think. There were one or two blokes that I mentioned earlier in... I talked about people... I don't know how I got dragged off into that, but a man called Moss... He wasn't in that.
Ernie Moss.
And Joe... Sniper. Forgotten his name. Oh, dear.
It's all right, don't worry. So they were in B Company, not C Company, those two.
Yes.
Right.
Well, they came to me in B Company later. I came across... Joe Dudley. I came across them later. The C Company men at that time... They were a different lot, you know. I came across that man, Scouse Jones, in the tank attack. I was in B Company then, so I hadn't met him. Although I probably got dragged into that a bit enthusiastically.
Right. We can sort all that sort of thing out later. So, what's the next thing you arrive? You're on Monte Cassino, patrolling all this sort of thing. What's the next thing you remember happening? Monte Camino,
Europe. Mm. We were shelled all the time. We were always under shell fire. We were crouched under these gas capes in these stone sangers. We used to get up and man the night positions after we'd been fed when we had waited for the rations to come up, mostly always by mule. And...
What sort of rations were you getting?
We were getting... we got dry rations, tea and sugar. We didn't get any cooked food.
Was it compo rations?
Compo rations mostly,
and
yes.
What was compo at that stage?
Again, biscuits and a few extra goodies as well. Mostly biscuits, corned beef. and he got these tins of what we called McConaughey's. That was like stew, and we'd got the stoves and we could get water. We used to get water. Go down these. The Germans would shell periodically, and there was a well down in range, in view of the guns, and the lads used to watch the sequence of firing the guns, and then they'd dash down and they'd have a big compo tin with a signal wire on it, and they'd drop it down and pull it up and slosh, 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 and then run back, and when they'd got back, they'd back on the thing again, because they were under observation. But mostly they got away with it, but there was one occasion when they didn't. And there were a couple of lads killed, I remember, running down there to this well.
Were you suffering many casualties from the shell?
Yes, steady. Not necessarily being killed, but there was shrapnel fire and effects of shrapnel fire. These airburst things I told you about, they were...
Tell me a bit more about them. What was it like?
Well, they were projected by howitzers, and they'd put them up and they'd drop down, and an airburst would explode in the air, giving a marker to the artillery, and they'd know where to range on then. Because they couldn't see the effects of their fire from where they were. But they sent these airbursts down, and some were anti-personnel, some were just an explosion with smoke, big puffs of smoke coming up, so they could see where they were for ranging the artillery. And my last casino was when we were actually coming out. We knew we were coming out, and... the platoon had moved down. It gone off just before feeding time to a position further down the track, and I was going to hang on and wait for the incoming lot, and they were the recce corps, and because of the weather and the conditions, they weren't being used as reconnaissance troops. And it had the flash of lightning for the cap badge. They were normally motorised troops, and I had to wait for them coming up, and then wait after dark and take their platoon commander into the positions that he had to man after in the reverse slopes. And I did, and I was making my escape. Glad to be away from it. I got round a corner where there were some rocks, approaching where the rocks, sort of a ravine sort of thing, and rocks on each side, and an airburst landed on one of these sides, on the right hand side, just as I was going to drop my trousers and go through the motions, because I hadn't. One of the awful things about it, you'd got to do something, but a bit filthy to talk about, but necessary. And one of these airbursts landed just as I was about to do my duties, and I snatched up my trousers and picked up my pack and tommy gun and whatever and headed it round the corner as far as away from it as I could. And I hadn't been gone many seconds and before there was a burst of artillery where the airburst had landed. So for some reason they were firing there. And I joined the boys, they were back, and they were way down the hill then, right out of sight of the monastery, and we were in an orchard. I remember in this orchard, and we'd got bivouacs. They'd put bivouacs up, and we got in this bivouac, and we lined up for breakfast the next morning, and Germans even shelled us there. And we'd got guns just back from this orchard. They were the long 17, long toms they used to call them, and they were firing as well. So between the Germans and our guns, it was like hell anyway. There was no point in being out of it, but we weren't there very long. We moved out.